It's a passion for the Lord. It's a desire for Him beyond just being religious, just giving token acknowledgement to Him. And the more you know Him, and let's just put it like this. I mean, it's in a certain sense, it's like a date. We meet the Lord, and you know, oh, this is, you know, fluttery and emotional and all this kind of stuff. But the more you get to know the person, and you move into union and marriage and all this kind of stuff, and then there's an appreciation for this, not just the surface things anymore. It's just an appreciation for that person, or for the Lord in this case, for His. You see the beauty, you know, like that's not external. You see the beauty that is not based on what He's done for you, yeah, and that's all fine. But the more you press into Him, you find qualities that you can't find in anybody else. And it draws you. It draws you, it draws you, it draws you to in union with Christ, it draws you to want those qualities in you. You know, I want those qualities in me. I can't be like Peter and warm myself by the fire while he's going through this, you know. I want the things that he's going through and the spirit in which he's going through to be in me, you know, to be at work in me, to be life in me, to be, I don't know, sparkling qualities of the nature of the Lamb, to be real, no longer be talked about, but and no longer just seen in the context of an event 2,000 years ago, but in the context of a living person inhabiting, indwelling, taking His place in His temple. Amen. Well, I want to finish up, well, Lord willing, finish up this morning what I was sharing on last night. Anybody remember what I was sharing on? Anybody remember the subject?
What's the purpose?
It's a purpose, and we were talking about Mary of Bethany. But we really were talking about the Lord, and we're talking about what moved the Lord and what moves the Lord and what is, because we can do anything and say, well, this is for the Lord. But at what point do we say, I want to move Him instead of having Him move me? Now, that's not to say, and I covered this early, and I'll cover it at the end, but that's not to say that He doesn't take care of our things. But if we'll take care of Him, He'll take care of us. If we'll take care of the things that are important to Him, He'll take care of the things that are important to us. But it is first, seek ye first. Amen? Amen. It is. It is. You can't be self-centered and expect Him to come through all the time for you. You can't. You cannot live that way. You cannot form a Christianity in which you fit that is primarily self-centered on your life, your needs, your all this, but and yet Christianity has done that, but Jesus hasn't done that. And Jesus is calling us out of that to focus on Him and what's important to Him, and watch Him do exactly what He said. You remember the scripture that we read, that when we look into His face, we are changed. If you want change, stop trying to change. And start trying to find the Lord. Look into His face. Not for change, but just to look into His face. Just to see Him the way He really is. And the end result of that is we are changed into that same image. Praise God. Not we're changed. Not our circumstances are changed and our attitudes are changed. We are changed into that same image, and it begins to be Christ, not I, but Christ. That's, I don't know. That sounds promising to me. There's hope in that. In what? Christ in you. Oh yeah, the hope of glory. Oh yeah, Christ in us is that hope. Not Christ above. Jesus, come down here and help me and fix me. It's normal for us to struggle with things. I know that. I'm not heartless. Besides, I'm not sharing my ideas. I'm sharing what the Word of God says. But I'm not heartless or whatever. Deb and I go through things. We have to deal with problems that we face that, you know, and obstacles as we go forward together. There's stuff. But we never want to let our heart leave the heart of the Lord. Because if we're reduced down to almost nothing and we still have the Lord, we got great treasure. Amen. We have great treasure. And you can get through stuff. But if you feel like you've lost the Lord, which you haven't. You haven't lost the Lord. You got Jesus. You know, I mean, I know it's a simple story, but I always remember the story of the daddy who's going to take his kids to the state fair of Texas, you know, and so they bring the neighbor kid with them. So he's got his little son and he's got the neighbor's son. And they get to the fair, and so they're walking through and seeing all this stuff, you know, and the neighbor kid says, "Well, my daddy gave me $20. And the kid whose father is there with him says, "Well, I have my dad." I don't even know how much he's got. It doesn't matter. He's got what it's going to take to have some fun here. Well, you know, when you've got the Lord, when you've got the Father, you've got enough. But if you quit looking to Him, if you quit looking to them, if you go, "Well, they've left me," or "Where are you?" Then find Him. But He's not hiding. He's right there with you. Turn your heart. Turn your eyes upon Him. Say, "Lord, You are with me. You said You'd never leave me nor forsake me. You are right here, and I want You. And I'm going to quit looking at the circumstances that are screaming at me and slapping me and knocking me around." Amen? Because it feels that way sometimes. It's a hard press. It is. It's a hard press. I know it. The Lord knows it. The Lord knows you have need of these things. That's what the scripture said when I read for you. The Lord knows you have need of these things. But His first thing isn't, "Oh, I'm a father and I know you have need of these things and I'm going to rush to your aid right now." Anytime you go, you know, "Oh, I heard that. I'm going to rush to your aid right now." No, He doesn't do that. He's waiting for you to just come to Him. Not for the needs, but come to Him. And He supplies. He takes care of. But He's not looking for selfish children. He's not looking to develop a selfish family that's self-focused over every little earthly thing. When He doesn't, He's, you know, the Father's never lived down here. Except in Jesus. But he's never gone, "Well, this is pretty rough down here." He doesn't need that. He wants us up there with Him. We're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about the rapture of the heart. You know the word rapture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rapture of the heart for Him. Yes, and that'll take you up out of the miry clay. and set your feet on solid ground, solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? I think it's stinking sand. But anyway, that's another story. Praise God. All right, we're in Matthew 26. We're going to be looking at the story again. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole story, but we're going to drop back and rehearse starting from verse 10. But let's start at verse 7. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 7. There came unto him. All right, that's it. That's my sermon. I just said it. I just said all that, didn't I? You know, we're waiting to get past that. You know what I'm saying? I want to get past that. What's going to happen? What's going to work for me? What's going to happen? How about just come unto him? Amen. Just let your heart go to him. Before you get out of here, you need to do that. You know that? Amen. Every one of you do. And I'm going to check your hearts as we go out the door. Actually, I'm not, but the Lord will. We need to come unto him. We need to realize our focus is there. And as we do that, all this stuff, because she's walking into a hornet's nest. But it's really not for her. You don't see her going, this isn't fair. You see Jesus standing up for her. Would you like Jesus to stand up for you? Then quit saying this isn't fair. Amen? Right, Ben? That's what we're doing. That's where we're going. That's where our hope is. And we're going together. You're not alone. We're pressing together. We're holding on to one another. We are. We are. This is what's going on. So, you know, if you're on the fringes, that's okay. We love you. But I'm going to try to keep pulling you in more to the Lord, more to his heart. Because I know that's going to be the best thing for you in the long run anyway. And it's going to bless him too. Somebody else gets blessed out of it besides you. The Lord does. Amen. There came unto him. A woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? Question mark. To what purpose? Why are you doing this to Jesus? Why are you wasting your time and things that are important? Why are you putting all this work into this gathering? Why are you doing all this, you crazy people? Right? Why are you doing? Because I want to get to Jesus and I want to pour something on him. I'm here to pour something on him. And then if we can all do that, praise God. We don't even know the results of what that'll be. And poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. And they said something. You know, you might have indignation or whatever else working in you, but just watch your tongue, okay? You know, as my mom used to say, watch your mouth. Well, we're his children, and the Father would tell us, watch your mouth. You know, if you got stuff going off in you, you don't have to say it. Well, yes, I do. Because I'm not going to fake it. How about don't manifest it? Two different things. Manifestation is going to get you in trouble. If you manifest something, God then feels like he has to step in and start dealing with you. And I mean not in a positive way, because you usually do that in a negative way. Just tell him, I don't want to speak anything that is not of your spirit and of your lamb nature. And look to him. You look to him. You don't look to yourself, because you look to yourself and say, I can't do anything else but this. Yes, you can. You can look to him. You can wait on the Lord. Wait. You're waiting. What am I waiting for? Him. Praise God. To what purpose is this waste? All right. So somebody could look at you that's attending this thing and go, this is a waste. Why are you doing that? You know? Why are you doing that? Some of you really, you've spent money to come here. You have. You've come a long way. It's not a waste. You're not. I don't believe you're going to leave here thinking it's a waste because we're pulling out on his feet. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be a waste. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye? There's his question. There's as to what purpose is this waste? Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you. But me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. For my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done. What this woman has done. That's pretty powerful. And it shall be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. So he walks out on the thing. He didn't agree with it. He walks out on the thing. Verse 15, and he said unto them, the chief priest, what will ye give me? I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So, we were discussing the different mindset, the different mind. I was praying for someone today, and I was thinking, I was praying that scripture in Corinthians that says, casting down every thought and imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against God, against his thoughts. Okay. So consider this situation, but consider your situation. What does that mean? That means that it is possible for you to have thoughts that are contrary to the Lord. Okay? Can you settle that that's there still? You do not have the mind of Christ perfectly formed in you. Okay? Some of you over here do, but I mean, particularly this section here. But it means that you can do something about it. You can cast down those thoughts. Isn't that cool? It does. I mean, it says, it's not saying, you don't go, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having these thoughts. Oh no, I'm horrible. I'm so far from Him. Why do you go, you know, why are you so fearful? Oh yeah, Jesus said that once to the disciples. Why are you so fearful? He's going, from his view, he's going, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful about, you know, what you will eat or what you will, you know, clothes or what you will do? Why are you so fearful? He's going, your Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first. See? You don't have to fear. Cast them down and say, Lord, I'm seeking you. I want you. All right. So the last thing I think I said was that she had said that you had done a good work. She had done a good work on me. And he calls it a good work and they call it waste. And the extreme gap between that, they're looking at the same work. The exact same things going on. And it's being read one way, not just one way, but an extreme way. This is waste. And Jesus is looking at the same work and saying, this is a memorial that's going to go forever. It's going to keep on going long after the event. All right. How would you like something eternal happening, you know, behind the release, as it were? Hallelujah. And then I wrote this: at the end of the gathering, how will you view this gathering at his feet? Will it look like a waste? Or will it look like a memorial to Jesus? Something eternal happened that he's not going to forget. Wow. Do you see how both are possible in just this gathering at his feet? Because that's what we're trying to do. All right. So verse 11, Jesus says, "For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." All right. So you have the poor with you always. You can always go do that. You know? So what was that meeting for? What is this meeting for? What was that meeting for when it took place then? Was it for the disciples when Mary Bethany came in? But they're there. Maybe before she came in, the disciples are going, "Oh, this is great. We're in this house. We're with Jesus. Jesus is sitting there. Who knows? He's probably sharing whatever." And they're going, "This meeting is for us." Is that what you're thinking? This meeting is for him. Or, you know, is this meeting for the poor? Is this meeting for the ones who've struggled or had a hard time? I'm sorry. Wrong meeting. Get your eyes on him and he'll take care of that. But the meeting can't be about you. You say, "Well," with indignation, "Well, I've never heard of such a meeting happen like that. I came here to get help. I need help." With much indignation. What is it? You don't even know. Yes, dear.
He was trying to express his heart to them, and even at that.
Yes. Amen. So there they are. Is it for the poor? Why are you thinking it's for the poor? Or disciples, why are you thinking it's for you? Or is it for a fundraiser? A lot of meetings are for fundraisers. I mean, we have the giving vessel. Is it for this? Is it? Guess what? As far as I can tell, if God brings in enough to just cover what we did, it's all being poured back on him and for what he wanted to do. The whole thing is that. It's not a fundraiser. We're not trying to raise money for anything beyond just let's do this to the glory of Jesus. That's it. That's it. And many of you, your hearts have just been abundant in just that spirit and pouring out, "This is for you, Lord." You see, that's a better offering than just giving to a cause. Amen. Don't give to a cause. In fact, don't give to a need. Give to Jesus. But don't even give to Jesus. Pour out on Jesus, because you know, you see the three wise men who came from afar and they had gifts and they're here and they bow down and they present their gifts and the joy of pouring that out on Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I mean, we can break with a whole lot of carnal stuff that didn't include Jesus. Amen? Praise God. But the meeting was about a good work. Amen. A good work. Jesus said, "What this woman has done is a good. She's done a good work on me. This is a good work. If we succeed and really pouring out on Him with our hearts and not just attending some sort of a gathering, then a good work will have happened. But someone could leave here and just come and, you know, oh, I got blessed and, you know, I really liked the worship and this and that and it was great and whatever. God's not going to view that as a good work. He's going to view it as you going somewhere to try to get something for you instead of pouring out on Him. I say these things to keep trying to tighten the blinders on us so that we can keep pressing into His heart. Jesus, I'm here for you. And even as I share, if your heart was somewhere else, then just quietly within yourself say, Lord, I want my heart to be at that place. I want to be in that place. I do not want just an event. I want something eternal that you'll remember forever and ever.
Yes.
You pray that if it's not that way right now. Don't fear or don't go, oh my God, I'm missing it. Or don't go, well, I don't care as long as I get something. I don't care. You know, pray that prayer. And keep praying underneath all that's going forward. I wrote this statement, but you don't, Jesus said you have the poor with you always. I wrote, but you don't have Jesus always as the central focus of your eyes, thoughts, and desires. That's what we're trying to do, is get Jesus the central focus of our eyes and our thoughts and our desires. You don't always have that, do you? You go to work, you do this and that. You don't have Jesus at that moment always as the central focus of your eyes and your hearts and your desires. You don't. You know you don't. But here we can do that.
Yes.
And apparently that wasn't the case for Jesus up until that woman came in and built a memorial. Built a memorial. And I believe the memorials that are around here are not just events or rocks or wood. Because I was here. I watched hearts. I heard them. I sensed the spirit of it. And it was truly, truly making memorials unto the Lord. It was. I mean it. I'm sorry, but it's, you see, think, well, no, no. We weren't trying to prepare a cool looking room or stuff. I don't even think that thought came into anybody's mind. It was, oh my God, this is our shot. This can be our time to really make this a memorial for His heart. Verse 12 says, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Well, the first thing to notice is, he said, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body. She hath poured this ointment on my body. She poured it on His body. Okay, which body? Is that a good question? Which body? Because the disciples could have said, well, we're His body. They didn't get any oil on them. Okay, so you say His physical body. No, that's still not it. Oh, there's a special body. There's something there that Jesus recognized that this is where the ointment went and where the heart of this woman found and poured on me. It's the body of the crucified, in that she hath done this for my burial.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a clear-cut focus on Christ crucified, and that body is going to be the crucified body, and I'm going to anoint that.
Hallelujah.
That's where the anointing goes.
Yes, Lord.
That's where I want it to go. We say, we're the body of Christ, you know, and we go to church and we say, Lord, anoint me. Anoint me. And He doesn't really do that. You might feel something and feel a little stronger, but it's gone shortly. It's the crucified body. Are you His crucified body? Are you the body of His crucifixion? Are you the body of His death so that His life may come forth? She did it for my burial. She did what? She anointed my body for my death and burial. My body as if it were already crucified. And in the other versions of this, it says, this woman came in 2 days before his death. This happened 2 days before Jesus went to the cross. This is like your last shot. I mean, it would be like if the Lord just kind of flashed on the screen and said, this person that's attending right now won't be here in 2 days. One of you. She got in under the wire 2 days before he was dead. I say she got in under the wire because all the other women showed up at the tomb and he was already raised. She didn't get a chance. They didn't get a chance to anoint his body. They, even if it was in their heart, you can miss the timing.
Right.
This is the time.
Amen.
This is the time.
Amen.
Not tomorrow, not next week,
right.
Not because you have not me always like this. With you. They missed it. And yet you can't fault their heart because they came to the tomb to anoint him for burial. And it was over with. It was gone. He was raised.
We don't want to miss it now.
We don't want to miss it now.
We're here now.
Start right now in your heart. And as you hear this, just say, Lord, I want to be like that woman or David. I want to make this about you, and I want it to glorify you, and I want it to something. I mean, think about it. Jesus, nobody really knew. Even Jesus, when he talked to the disciples along the way as he got closer to Jerusalem, he said that he was going to die and, you know, be put to death and all this kind of stuff. And it says after that, they understood not the things that he said. We don't understand the cross. We just understand ministry and blessings and healings and this and that. And we don't get this. And he goes, I don't get you. You know? This is it. This is the time. The Lord, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Spirit of God has brought together. Look how the Spirit of God has come down on different people. And made something that is not some sort of Catholic object or shrine, but found the heart of the Lord and every stone laid with that Spirit in mind. Hallelujah. So she comes in. She's getting under the wire. Got 2 days. She anoints Jesus. Jesus reads it as she has figured out who I am. She's got it. She's figured it out. And she knows, and no one else really knows, I'm fixing to die. You know? The disciples, hours, not even hours, moments, because the guard showed up in there while they were still in there praying, or they were sleeping, and he was praying. Amen? Yeah. Eternal moments passed away because we wanted to go to an event or we wanted something and we didn't get it. Judas walked out because he wanted something and he didn't get it. Judas walked out of that meeting. Judas was upset over what was going on. It was the event. You check every story in the Gospels of this story. And that was the one event that caused Judas to walk out and betray Jesus. That was it. Wow. Well, we can betray Jesus by being the disciples in that sense and not getting it and not really understanding everything. Well, of course we don't understand everything. God doesn't fault us for that. He's not faulting us for that right now. But he is faulting us if we can't say, Lord, you're speaking right now. Just imagine that situation. Lord, you were his disciples. You're speaking right now. And you're saying that What I just called waste, you're acting like it's great treasure to your heart and will last for, you know. I want to get this. Help me get past whatever. It's not that you'll see the fullness of it. You say, right now I don't fully get it. Well, then ask him for it. You say, but I didn't get it last night. Did you ask? You know what I'm saying? You can't sit there time and time again and say, I don't get it. You have to sit there and say, Lord, I believe there's something of you in this. Or get up and walk out mad. But that you pray and you keep going and you keep pressing. You keep saying, Lord, I can feel what's in my being to want to press into the Lord. I just want to press, you know, and pressing is not the same as just going. Pressing is like if you go up against a wall and you start pushing against it, you know. You're pushing, you're pressing, and you're going, well, what good is this? The wall ain't moving. You're building spiritual muscles. Amen? Amen? Yes. Stop doing those weights and start doing these. One, two. And with each prayer, you're pressing. You're building spiritual muscles, and he hears your prayers, but he just wants to know, are you serious or is this a momentary thing?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
She did it for my burial. So then in church we want to anoint his resurrected body, right? Because we go to church since the resurrection, and we want to. You know, Lord, anoint your resurrection body. There, to my knowledge, there is no account of the resurrection body being anointed. It's just a thought. We are his resurrection body. So, but we're asking to be anointed. Thank you, Ben. Thank you very much. I saw a light go off over there. Share with these people then, brother. It's his crucified body. It is us as the Lamb himself pouring forth. Paul said, death worketh in me, but he's talking about I bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This is after the resurrection. This is after he's saved. Amen? This is down the road, but he's still in tune with the crucified body. And he says, death works in me, but life in you. We go, I want to bring life to you. So I'm going to be the resurrection body. There is resurrection power. Well, Paul didn't even say, I want to know resurrection power. He said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. See, it's always about us. It's always, we change the words up and we make it about us. And then we get all puffed up and big and, oh, now I'm the anointed of God. Oh my God. You just slapped Christ. You walked up to the cross and just slapped the crucified in the face and said, I am the anointed one. Come, people, come anoint me. I say, Randy, you can be kind of rough. I hope I'm getting this from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. He was anointed for death, wasn't he? He was anointed for his burial. Jesus would, if he hung on that tree, he would say, this is my anointed body. This is my anointed body. Another light going off over here. This is going to be good if you get this. Praise God. This is Jesus goes, this is the body I want to show forth.
Praise God.
This is it.
Did you want this anointing?
Yeah, this is what I want memorialized. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the anointing to be honored throughout. All, you know, I mean, Everywhere the gospel goes, do we have somebody saying, I'm, or, you know, you can be anointed, or I'm the anointed of God? Everywhere the gospel is preached, well, somebody missed it. Because it's this anointing
that's right.
That's supposed to go with it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen?
Yes, Lord.
Shouldn't we be saying right now in our hearts, Lord, oh God, help us. Help us for our wrong views of things, and help us to come more into what's in your heart. We need to have the Spirit of God start breaking the reality of the cross to us in such a way that we are enlightened by it. There's another poem that I wrote called Consecrated Priests. Do we have that, Scott?
Yeah.
And the basic gist of the poem is that there's this priest, and he's a regular priest, and he's gone about his duties all of his days. All of his days. He's been faithful. He's offered up the offerings. He's done the things that he's supposed to do. But one day, while he's offering up an offering, he's looking in the fire, and he's looking at this sacrifice being burnt up. And all of a sudden, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God begins to shine in the flames of that sacrifice. And he understands, this is the anointed body. This is the one. This is what it's about. This is what I've missed my whole priesthood. And it ends with, I will never forget that day. I will never forget the light from the flames off the altar. So, go ahead. Consecrated Priest by R.T. Nussbaum. My life, I know, it's not my own. But I serve the one sits on the throne. As priest of God, it is my place to offer him what suits his taste. My duties I take most seriously and carry them forth most faithfully. Every day to served up twice, the morning and evening sacrifice. But one day, as fire fell from God, in burning flames, I thought it odd. The altar fires to me bestowed a light that I had never known. Its burning, turning fires they brought, what my learning never taught. In fiery light, eternal thought, for in that fire, his face I caught. How can I describe light from that carcass? Smoldering heat that drove off darkness? Flames of light and rays of glory set ablaze that body gory. I'll long remember what I saw. True priest am I upon this call. What can't be told, only God can give. So look and see and learn and live. What a powerful story that would be to a priest that had served the Lord faithfully and seriously and not been fooling around, but really trying to please the Lord and give back to him what he desires through the altar. To one day, like any other day, offering up the sacrifice, but all of a sudden, altar light came in. Not light from above, not light from teaching, somebody teaching, not not light from reading something and seeing it, but altar light. Flames that were consuming the sacrifice. And you all of a sudden see the nature of the sacrifice. You see the one whom it has always represented. And you realize this is a new call. This is a new call. I have a new call on my life. This is a different day. It is changing all my days. It is rearranging. It is captivating. It is destroying and building up all at the same time. It is opening a direct line to the heart of God instead of clouds between me and the sun. Jesus' response in verse 13 was this: "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." I was caught by, you know, there's so much there in those words. But here were two words that got me first. It says, this is Jesus, and he says, I say. Remember, they'd already been telling what they wanted to say, their view. And he says, this is what I say about this. You love Jesus, then you go with his heart. This is what he says about this situation. This is what's important to him. He's telling us. He's reaching across our carnal thoughts and trying to pull us into himself. He's not trying to condemn. This is what I say. And the disciples should have said, because the wording at the very beginning said, and his disciples, his own disciples are devoid of the heart of what Jesus was and this was about. And Jesus turns to him and says, I say. This is what I say. Wherever in the whole world this woman hath done shall be told of her as a memorial to be built and stayed forever. I also was caught by the words when he says this gospel. Because Jesus had, listen carefully now, Jesus had not told them that he was going to die for sin and they could all be saved yet. Not in that sense. He hadn't really said that. They didn't see his death as a sacrificial death for their salvation. He had not said, here is the gospel. I shall die, your sins will be forgiven, and I'll bear them for you. It hadn't happened. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this gospel. And then I thought, he's not talking about the gospel of salvation because it was preached after his death, afterwards. He hasn't died and he hasn't been resurrected. So the gospel was not in effect. Well, you know, how many of you know what the word gospel means? Raise your hand. Means what?
Good news.
Good news. What if there was some other good news to his heart, not to ours? The gospel of salvation is good news to us, right? But what if there was something that was good news to his heart and he's actually saying this good news This good news, because that's all that they would understand of the situation, would be that right there that happened, and the joy of his heart. And he's saying, this good news is going to go out, and the savor of it and the spirit of it and the reality of how it affected me, the Lord saying that, they didn't get it, so they're not going, woohoo, this is good news. Anybody ever stood in church when they said, the gospel is good news? And went, yeah, good news for us, yeah. Well, in a way, Jesus is sitting there going, woohoo, good news for me. There's people focusing on what's my heart, and they're going to get it, and we're going to become one, and we're going to flow throughout the world with this, and it's going to go out from here.
Yes.
What this woman started. I mean, you got to love that. You got to love that. You got to love that. And I do like the fact, I mean, I do, maybe you don't, but I like the fact that he said, this is going to be a memorial of her. Okay, now why would he do that? Because it is a memorial of him. I mean, it is. It's a memorial of his heart, of where he really is, of what's important to him. I mean, you know, we say, well, he came, you know, we quote Isaiah where Jesus quoted it, and he says, well, to set the captives free and to be there for the poor and all this kind of stuff. But we're finding that, yes, he'll always put us first, because that's the way he is. We're going to have to find that heart to put him first. Because he'll always put us first. He'll never say, could y'all consider me just for one moment? You know, we're going to have service after service, church after church, state after state, country after country of church services. And the best we do is go, okay, praise and worship service. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the healing that was in this service. Thank you for, it's all our good news. And it's good news. I'm not putting it down, okay? I'm not at all. I'm trying to lift Jesus up. But if you lift Jesus up above us, it feels like you're being put down, right? Well, you wouldn't want to lift Jesus up above us. But that's what we should be doing. He should be lifting us up, and we should be lifting him up, and not just, because, you know, we read that service where Jesus, I mean, that scripture, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we go, yes, Jesus is the answer. I'm lifting Jesus up. He is, lift him up. Come on, brothers and sisters, lift him up. Yeah, woohoo! Well, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto you, to me. This he spoke of the manner of death he should die. The lifting up was Calvary. See that cross right there in the middle of the thing here? He was lifted up on that. And it says, the kind of lifting up he wants is he wants us to lift up Christ crucified, not Christ resurrected. Does that sound confusing to anyone? Well, just do that. If it sounds confusing, just do this. Just another little prayer underneath. Lord, if Randy is wrong on this point, then show me. But if there's something of truth to what he's saying, then open my eyes like the consecrated priest. Become not just a priest, but a consecrated priest. Let him do that. Let the Spirit of God do it. So verse 14 and 15, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? What will you give me? All right. You have to recognize. You must recognize. You must recognize that Jesus' betrayal based on one basic premise. Someone was really pouring out on Jesus, and he was getting it all at that moment, and someone in their heart said, "What am I getting out of this?" That's Judas's heart. Did you hear me? That's Judas's heart. This is dumb. We don't want to pour out. We don't want to do that. What am I going to get out of this? And so he got up. He got up and left. This was still going on. And he walked out of the room. And remember when they were at communion and Judas got up and walked out. You remember that? That's when he went to do the official act. This was just to find out how much money, what will you give me? And when he got up at the Lord's Supper and walked out, what did the disciples think of Judas? Tell me.
He's going to help the poor.
Pardon?
He's going to help the poor.
He's going to go give to the poor. He has the sack that he's stealing out of, the bag, which apparently they didn't... You know, some people have absolutely no discernment at all. You know what I mean? No discernment at all. I mean, there's someone that we go, oh, this person, yeah, this person is either so spiritual or I really like their company or whatever. And they could be a demon at heart. Or worse, they could be the exact opposite of what Jesus is. And we would go, well, you know, this is okay. See, if we don't get rearranged in our viewpoint of this, then you have to see that this situation of Jesus' betrayal came down to too much. Come on. Preach it, Randy. Too much emphasis on Jesus. Well, I'm not getting it from y'all. So come on, brother. Preach it. Because that's the way I'm feeling. I need to hear it. I mean, it's like I'm hearing that, but I'm... I mean, that really hit me. It was like, yeah, come on, brother. Bring it.
Amen.
Well, that's too much emphasis on Jesus. And what am I getting out of this? First of all, this is a waste of time. Couldn't we have shorter preaching sessions? Not if I'm going to preach. Right? You're not going to get that, you know? All these things that can go through our minds and our hearts that can cause us to rise up, because he rose up and walked out, cause us to rise up and have bulwarks, walls, push back against things that are not just of God generally in a church service, but are against the very thing that the church should be doing, and calling it a waste, or thinking of it, maybe we wouldn't use that exact word, but you know, it's time consuming. But you know, it takes about 3 days before this stuff even starts sinking in. I mean, really gets us. It takes a while to get in. And so that's why every moment is important, that you pray, that you stay with his heart, that you... I just think there's so much importance of this little thing of just while everything's going on. It's not just about, you know, listening to Kelly and she has a good voice and she can sing and all of that kind of stuff, because there's a scripture in Ezekiel that says, you know, God said to Ezekiel, they shall hear you, you'll be like a new song, and you could play well on an instrument and this and that. And he says, but they will not come to me. They will not come to me. Or Randy can share and this and that and that. But he said, but they won't come to me. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him in your heart. Come to him with every sentence. If any sentence had the dove's wings that made that sentence into the arrow of the Almighty, and He came and thrust it into your heart, don't get condemned, don't feel bad, don't just say, if I'm off, I don't want to be off. If my mind runs contrary to this, I don't want my mind to run contrary to it. I want to be with You. So move and keep the fire, keep the altar fire burning in you. And each step, don't fight it, or don't ignore it and say, well, there's just too much, or I can't get this, or da 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 da. Man, stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Ride this thing to the end, you know? Hallelujah. So it was funny that those scriptures ended with Judas. So I wrote, is it possible to disagree with what's being shared? Is it possible to anger someone with this? Is it possible to have the same reaction as Judas? Why would someone disagree? And then, as I've already said, what will You give me? You know? And so what is it saying? It is really, Judas is saying, I think I can get more profit out of going and getting money from these guys to put this down than I can from sitting here and listening to Jesus' explanation of what's been going on there. I think I personally can get more profit out of this. Okay. All right, yeah, maybe, you know, I mean, you could go out of here and go to a casino and maybe hit it rich, you know what I mean? Make a ton of money, right? Leaving here, if there's a casino across the street, go, wow, this is way more profitable than sitting in there and listening to that. But that exchange, that revelation, that heart that poured on Jesus and Jesus' heart responding, that's good news to him. He's going in 2 days. He knows where he's heading. He's going into death. And he's taking what she did with him into the burial. He's taking it. Maybe all of the angst and all of the Pharisees that have taunted him and all of the disciples that have vied for greater position and all the things that were so contrary to him, maybe all of that could have just been just what he carried. But in his heart, he carried that. That's what he carried into his death. And he's going to remember it for. So where's the prophet? Where's the waste? This isn't the waste. This isn't the waste. Amen. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Let's stand together. Let's do that. You know, we've already had quote-unquote altar calls or stuff like that. But I just feel that there might be a couple of people that it is important to you now at this phase that you just come down and find agreement with me and Jesus on him being able to break through to the very things that we want deep in our heart, because we love Jesus. We love him. But it's like, I got to get this crust off of me. I got to drive a stake in the ground and say, this is my ground. I'm not going to be moved from this. It could just be a few. It could be many. But if you feel that way, come on down and let's do that again. This is a word for maybe one, maybe several. For the Spirit of the Lord would say that the Lord's arrows, the arrows of the Almighty, the arrow has hit your heart. And yet the Lord drew forth his bow again. And another arrow has left his bow and it has hit your heart. And yet again, he has drawn forth his bow and aimed at you and your heart and he has released it, and it has hit your heart. And the Lord is saying unto you, I shoot my arrows into your heart. I shoot what is my goal, my straight thinking, my way of seeing, straight to your heart. And I say, saith the Lord, I will continue to shoot. And I will shoot until you drop dead. And rise up in my spirit and in my nature. And you will rise in my spirit and in my nature, and my mind shall be in you. For the Lord says, beautiful is the death of his saints. Beautiful is the death of his saints. I am your resurrection. I am your life. I am your way. I am your truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I have another word for some. For the Lord would say, two were walking up a hill and one was taken. Two were grinding and one was taken. And I say unto you, there is one here that has been going through trials. In fact, there are two here that have been going through trials, even though it's more than two that he's using as an example. There are two that have been going through trials. And they've been hard and they've been wearying. And one has moved more toward me, saith the Lord, because it was an opportunity to find me in the darkness and to trust that I was there with you. And one has moved away from me and wondered where I was and doubted. But I say unto you that have moved away, I say, come on to me. Come on to me. I am here. I have not left. Use these things as opportunity to be with me, to seek me, to love me, to move in with me. And I will take care of your needs, and I will flood over the enemy, and I will remove the things that hinder. But you must be with me now while the enemy is there, while the things hinder. You must not doubt that I have left you or no longer there. You must throw your arms around me and say, I love you, Jesus. I'm sorry. You must receive the word of life that I am speaking to you here, saith the Lord. Amen. The only time that matters to the Lord is this time. It's the only time right now that matters to Him is this time. This time. It is this time. Hallelujah.